Hello to those of you out there in radio land. This is Linda Sims coming from WGH Talk here in Marion, Ohio. How you doing today? Today is September the 8th. Today is my belated father's birthday. I'm trying to think how old he would be today. He was born in 1929, so that would make him, I don't know, maybe I'll tell you in a few minutes after I do the math.
93 or 4.
Really? 93 or 4? Oh, wow. That would have been a blessing to have had him all that time, but it was a blessing to have him anyway, you know. So, thank you once again for tuning in to WGH Talk. And know that we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. You can also call in during a live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944 for questions or comments. And as I go back to the day, September the 8th, I just want to share with each and every one of you that time is really moving fast of 2023. We have already gone over the half mark of this year. 243 days have passed, and there only remains 122 days. And I know a lot of you have your autumn decor up already, and I'm like, I love the springtime, and I love the flowers, you know, the reds, the yellows, the orange. It's just so beautiful this time of year, the lilac colors and the purple colors of flowers of spring. And you're telling me now I got to change my decor to the autumn. And I do love orange and the faded red and auburn colors. But, you know, it also gives you a different mood. You know, fall does. It really does. So I guess I have to fall in line with everyone else, right? Right. I can't turn back the hands of time. And hopefully, you know, the Lord bless and say the same. Another spring is coming and we can bring out those colors once again. Let me share with you those who faithfully supported Voice of a People. We will start with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. I did pay Chappie's a visit a couple days ago, and business is really booming. Chappie passed away, it would be like 2 years ago, of COVID, and he left the business to his grandson. But Chappie was a believer, and he believed in supporting this program that he would be blessed even more than he was. And, you know, he has been, and I thank God for that and for his continued support. Now, he's been with me at least 8 years, and I thank him so much for that and his grandson continuing that support. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place September the 16th of this month. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. They also have a wellness fitness walk adjacent to their facility, and it is open to the public. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs, faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and County Elementary Schools, along with North Union City and County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. If you are interested in your students being a part of this program, please call Cheryl Lee once again at 740-262-0939 or contact your local elementary schools that your students attend. I have a thought for today, and it is titled Letting Go. And I guess it kind of fits the mood I'm in as far as letting go of summer and letting the autumn come, whether I'm ready or not. But here goes. Just as the birds has to find the courage to let go of the branch in order to fly, so we also must let go of our branches. If we are to know the exhilaration of soaring to the highest potential of our life, the branches we hold to are our inner attachments, our beliefs, our ideas, and memories. And then there are the other attachments, people, possessions, positions, and privileges are a few. But as long as we hold on to them, we will live in fear of letting go and loss, and we will never be free. And just watch those birds by letting go of one branch. They are able to spend the rest of their life alighting on a million other branches, and they enjoy the view from each. Are you flying and soaring in your life, or are you stuck on one branch, cursing others as they fly past? Go on, try it, let go. Good thoughts for today. Now I turn my attention to Fred Malone. He is the chairman of our Marion County Historical Society. How are you doing today, Fred?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Same here. Last month we had to cancel.
Yes.
I was sick and you had something going on.
Yeah, had a family thing going on. Yes. So, yeah. But we're back together.
Back together
again.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was interesting. Your comment there, your thought for today, brought a couple things to mind. My father always said, any day above ground was a gift from the Almighty.
Yes.
And Teddy Roosevelt always said it was always better to be seen than viewed.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a good one, right?
Did you happen to see on the news, speaking of birds, did you happen to see on the news last night, there was a piece on there about flamingos, and flamingos have now been spotted as far north as Ohio.
No, I did not know
yes,
that.
Yes, there were some... there were some flamingos spotted on a lake down near Waynesville, which is in the Cincinnati area, between
okay.
Dayton and Cincinnati. But because of that most recent hurricane, apparently the flamingos were flying across the Yucatan Peninsula, which is south of California.
Okay.
And the wind from the hurricanes were blowing them more north and more east. So they've now been spotted in places like North and South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and as far north as Ohio.
Wow.
I thought that was amazing.
That is amazing.
And it showed up somebody had taken on their cell phone pictures and some video of some people on this beach at this lake down near Waynesville, and here were these beautiful pink flamingos in the background, which is unheard of to see something like that in this far north.
Well, those mighty winds blow.
Oh, yeah. They did a number as far as what they were moving around.
Right.
Yeah, so. But I thought that was interesting that you would see a pink flamingo. And at first when the guy said, we're going to talk about something that you never see in Ohio, pink flamingos. And I thought he was talking about those plastic ones that you stick in the ground, you know.
Right.
But no, they were the real thing. So, mm-hmm. But happy to be here. And today we're going to talk about places to go and things to do here in Ohio, especially now that the fall weather is upon us.
Okay.
But before we do, I need to do a couple of housekeeping things here for the Historical Society. Of course, Heritage Hall, which is the home of the Marion County Historical Society, is currently open for the season, and we will be open through October and the early part of November. And we're open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And we'd love for you to stop by and take a look at the exhibit that we have this year. I oftentimes run into people that say, oh, yes, I was at your museum a couple years ago. And I said, yes, but if you haven't been lately, you know, we change our main exhibit every year in the atrium. And, of course, you've been to the museum before.
Yes.
There are certain things that never change. Prince Imperial, of course, our big stuffed horse. He's always there. The Popcorn Museum is always there. Yeah.
Right.
Mary Ellen Withrow's Museum is always there. The Telephone Museum remains the same. But in the main part of the museum, which is where they actually sorted the mail years ago when it was a post office, that exhibit changes every year. And this year we're featuring agriculture in Marion County and what an important part agriculture played in the growth and the success of Marion County. So that's very important. But that exhibit always changes. When we close the museum down in December, the month of December, January, February, The exhibit that's out there now will completely come off, be put back in archives, and what's planned for next year will come out.
Okay.
And I don't know yet what the girls have planned for next year, but when I get that information, we'll make sure your audience has it first.
Thank you.
We'll get it out there first.
Right, we appreciate
that. Again, I encourage people to stop in. There's a minimal charge for going in. Kids under, I think it's under 5 or 6 are free, something like that. But it's a very minimal charge. And I always say, if people can't afford it, if I'm there, they go for nothing. So, but we just like to have people come.
Of course.
But we are an independent agency. We do not get any state or federal funding. We are fortunate once in a while, the county commissioners, if they have some extra money in their coffers, they'll slip some money our way.
That's great.
Doesn't happen all the time. Unfortunately, it hasn't been able to happen this year. They've been had their noses to the grindstone so far. But we're completely independently funded. We fund ourselves through donations, through memberships, and through events that we hold. And we encourage people to join the Historical Society and become a member and support the past and the future of our organization, because we are the keepers of all things Marion history.
Right.
We do have two events upcoming that I want to mention. Years ago, we had a ham and bean dinner at Kingston. And it was very successful. We got away from it a few years ago. The individual that basically spearheaded the dinner passed away, and we kind of lost the wind in our sails, so to speak. But we are resurrecting that dinner this year. It's a ham and bean dinner, and it will be at Kingston Residence. And that's going to be October the 14th from 4:30 to 7. You have to buy tickets ahead of time. There won't be any tickets sold that night, obviously, because we have to know how much beans and cornbread to cook.
Right.
So you do need to buy your tickets ahead of time. They'll be sold, I think we decided, up till the week before. So you've still got a month to buy your tickets. You can get those tickets by either calling the museum at 740-387-4255, or you can go online at marionhistory.com, buy them there, or you can stop in to the museum. Monday through Friday, the office is open, and again, we're open for visitors from Wednesday through Sunday. And if you just want to stop in and buy a ticket Wednesday through Sunday and not tour the museum, you can do that too, because we can sell those right there at the counter when you come in. But this is good old comfort food. We're going to have great fellowship. Support the good cause by attending our dinner, and it's at Kingston Resident, which is right behind Bob Evans, basically, that area back in through there. The cost of the dinner is $7. You can either dine in or carry out. Either one's available. Again, it's advanced sales only, and all proceeds will benefit the Marion County Historical Society. And again, the number to call for ordering tickets is 740-387-4255. And again, that's October the 14th. So we're just about a month away on that dinner. The other one that I wanted to mention, and I brought a copy for you. I don't know whether I'd given you one of these before or not, but is our annual Dinner with the Presidents. And this is our 14th year of doing this, Linda. It's amazing to me that 14 years have surpassed so quickly.
That is a lot, a long time.
Oh, I can't. I remember when we had our first dinner. Mm-hmm. And we had our first dinner at All Occasions Catering and Banquet Facility down in Waldo, and we're going back to All Occasions this year for the first time since that very first dinner. And that's going to be Saturday, November the 4th, from 4:30 to... We say 7:30, but it usually runs a little bit later than that. I try to get everyone out of there by 8 o'clock if I can, but it just depends on how long my presidents go and before I can get them to be quiet.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes that's not easy with the president.
I bet it's not.
The evening begins with a gala reception and arrival of the presidents, followed by a buffet dinner. And those dishes for the dinner are taken from the original White House cookbooks and based on the food that the four speaking presidents ate while they were in the White House. VIP setting, unfortunately, is sold out, or fortunately for us. But there is still plenty of general seating available, and that's $35 for adults, $25 for children 5 to 12. We don't recommend kids under 5. That's just a little bit too young. But kids 5 and above, They really enjoy it. They enjoy meeting the presidents and getting autographs and all that type of thing. So, but this year I have speaking James Buchanan, the 15th president, Andrew Johnson, the 17th president, who actually followed Abraham Lincoln when he was assassinated. He was Abraham Lincoln's vice president.
Okay.
Chester Arthur, the 21st president, who followed James Garfield, who was also assassinated in office, and Teddy Roosevelt, the 26th president. Those will be our four speaking presidents this year. In addition, we have James Madison, Martin Van Buren, Ulysses Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Mrs. Helen Louise Nellie Taft, a first lady, Warren Harding, Harry Truman, and Mrs. Mary Geneva Mamie Eisenhower, also a first lady. So they'll have their own tables.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as I said, those tables are sold out, but there's still plenty of general seating. Master of Ceremonies is Colonel Edmund Starling. He was a White House Secret Service agent from 1914 to 1943, the first Secret Service agent to serve five U.S. presidents, and I think we've had one since then. And then Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasury of the United States, will be our guest speaker. And Mary Ellen's always fun because she always comes up with something different to talk about every year. And she's had such a storied career in public service, beginning with her service on the, I believe it was the Elgin School Board here in Marion County. So, and all the way to the top
House,
seats
right?
of government. Yeah, plenty of times she was in the White House. Absolutely.
Yes.
So again, that is Saturday, November the 4th. Still plenty of tickets available. It'll be held this year at all occasions down in Delaware. Reservations for the dinner need to be made by October the 18th, so you've got just about a month to still get tickets. And again, you can get those by calling 740-387-4255 or going to our website, www.marionhistory.com, or stopping at Heritage Hall Monday through Friday. And that's, again, in the old post office downtown. And you can either do that by going up to the State Street side and ring the bell, or if we're open for visitors Wednesday through Sunday, come up the main steps, come in the front door, and they'll sell you a ticket right there.
Okay.
So we'd love to have you. It's always a fun event. The food is always delicious. You never know quite exactly what you're going to be eating. I don't think the girls have put the menu together just yet, but they peruse the White House cookbooks, of which we have copies of, and they find the presidents that are going to be the featured speakers, and then they try to find a couple of dishes for each president. Sometimes we'll get two or three meats, two or three vegetables, two or three salads, and some desserts, and it's always fun. Especially if you're dealing with a very early president.
Right.
Some of the things they ate were a little unusual, things that we don't think about eating today.
Right.
And some things, obviously, we can't reproduce exactly, like raccoon and things
Ooh.
Like that.
Thank God, right?
Yeah, they did eat some pretty strange things at when they were in the White House. And again, we try to duplicate things as much as we possibly can. Some of the salads that they ate were a little different too. One of the ones that we get a lot of requests from people from, and we do try to have it when we can, if possible, is cucumber salad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a big cucumber eater, but cucumber salads were very popular for a lot of the presidents, clear up even to the modern-day presidents.
Really?
So, and I think a lot of people still make cucumber salad at home.
Yeah, so, my mother did.
Yeah, but we have an interesting recipe for cucumber salad. So, but anyway, again, just go on the website, marionhistory.com, and check out the website, because there's a lot of other interesting things on there. And we'll always have a calendar of our events coming up. But those are the two primary big things that will be happening before the end of the year. So we encourage you to take a look at those. Also wanted to mention that Mohawk Historical Society up in Sycamore in Wyandotte County is open for the season. And now those hours are on Saturdays only from 10 to 2. a wonderful museum, history-related items from the Mohawk School District, which actually takes in parts of three counties, Wyandotte, Crawford, and Seneca County. And again, we now have three buildings available. We completed our third building, the building of our third building, just when COVID hit. So we had to delay the opening of that until this spring, but it's fully open and fully stocked. I don't have an exact count on the number of items we have in our archives there, but we have a wonderful collection of things from the Mohawk area and a lot of history up in that area as well. So I would encourage you to stop in there. And if you just Google Mohawk Historical Society, Sycamore, Ohio, there's a Facebook page and a website for that as well, and you can take a look at what's available there. We have all volunteer. There are no paid staff there. We have a wonderful board of directors and a lot of good volunteers. And so we keep our doors open that way. I was just up in the area a couple of weeks ago and dropped in, and the museum looks great this year. Also, I'll give a little plug for the Wyandotte County Historical Society that's located in Upper Sandusky. I'm also a member there, and I usually do a program once a year for them on their Thursday night programs. This year, I think I might have mentioned earlier, I was doing Charlie Weaver, who was a popular figure, especially in this area, because he grew up, he was born and raised in Toledo, but he grew up in Wyandotte County, basically, because his grandmother lived between Sycamore and Cary, out in the country, and he came and spent summers with her and got to know the area real well. And his mythical city of Mount Ide was based on the village of Cary. In fact, there's still Mount Ide Lanes located in Cary, the bowling alley over there, still named for Mount Ide. So that's interesting as well. Also want to mention that Malabar Farms is in full swing for the season. You can stop at Malabar Farm. It's one of the state parks in Ohio. We have a beautiful visitor center there, which is in the process of being totally remodeled with all new demonstrations and hands-on things for the kids to do. There's a playground there. There are many walking and hiking trails. There's equestrian trails. If you're a horse person, you can take your horse over, and there's a staging area where you can unload your trailer and ride around the area. There's 1,000 acres in the park.
Wow.
Louis Brunfield, when he originally bought the three farms that make up Malabar Farm, he had right around 600 acres, and he cash rented another 300 plus. And when the Friends of the Land, or the Malabar Farm Foundation, took over the park when Louis, or took over the land when Louis passed away in 1957. We gave it to the state in 1972 to make a state park out of it, and they picked up the additional 400 acres. So we're now just around 980 something, but we call it 1,000 acres. But it's absolutely beautiful over there, and it's close to the Mohican Forest.
Huge.
Yes, and so. There's actually now there's a cabin on the property that can be rented, and if you go to the state parks, just look up Malabar Farm, and there's a website for that. And also the Malabar Farm Foundation has a website, too, that you can take a look at to see what we're doing. And our mission is to preserve and protect the artifacts and the park itself, but mainly the artifacts and the artwork that's in the big house. And that's been our project for the last, going on 10 years now. To this point, we have restored approximately $120,000 worth of artwork in the big house, 32 different paintings. We are now working on textiles. We just recently took up one of the original bedspreads that was on one of the beds in the honeymoon suite
That's been there a long time,
Oh,
right?
Yes, where Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall were married there in 1945. Ooh. These are the original bedspreads with Malabar Farm logo on them, Louis Brumfield's logo. So we have one up at the ICA, the Intermuseum Conservation Association in Cleveland, being conserved and restored. And we have five more of those to take up over the next couple of years. It takes about 9 months to restore a bedspread. It's a long process.
It has to be.
It
oh
is.
My gosh,
it
I
is.
Can you imagine all the work that goes into that?
And remarkably, the bedspreads have been on the beds since they were since the house was built in 1940.
Right.
And they have remained in decent shape. It's unbelievable. A lot of them had very intricate work on them, and that's basically what needs conserved so that there's no deterioration that occurs on them. And we're talking somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 to restore each bedspread.
Whoa.
So by the time this project's done, we'll have about $60,000 just in those textiles alone. So, and that's the foundation's mission, is to do those types of things. So, but anyway, the park is open. It's actually open 365 days a year. The house tour and the barn tour, or the farm tour, are available in the spring, summer, and fall. But you can't get those during the winter, obviously, because of the snow and the inclement weather that takes place over there. But right now you can tour the house, you can take a wagon tour of the farm, and those are really fun things to do, and it's very inexpensive, $5 or $6, something like that.
Not bad.
And then in March, the first big event we have over there is Maple Syrup Days, two weekends in March when the maple sap starts to flow.
Sounds good.
We make maple syrup, and that's always a big event. We'll attract over that two-weekend period between 5,000 and 6,000 people. We'll show up to see how maple syrup is made. And the interesting thing about that is we do it three different ways. There's a little path you can take back through the woods. And we start out with the way the Indians did it. And they were actually making maple sugar, not syrup, in a hollowed out log with heated rocks and the maple sap. Very interesting process. Then you go down the trail and you see where the settlers are making it in a big iron kettle,
right?
And then you move on up to the modern day process, where it's made in these huge stainless steel bulk tanks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to see the process. So again, Malabar Farm, open from daylight to dark, and that is just outside of Mansfield on Pleasant Valley Road. And again, you can easily find that just by Googling Malabar Farm State Park, Ohio, and you'll get directions. Come from all kinds of different directions, ways to get there. I always suggest if people want to go from here, the simplest thing for them to do is either to take Route 30 over and get on Route 603, and that takes you down to the park. That's mm-hmm. probably the simplest way to go from here. I go a back way, but I won't even try to tell people how that is. But that's one of the easy ways. The other easy way is to go straight out 95 all the way, and that will intersect with 603, and you'll turn north, and that'll take you to the park as well. So that's an easy one to go to.
Towards Mount Gilead.
Go east towards Mount Gilead. Yep.
Okay.
Go east on Route 95. You can actually get off, you can get on 71. Where 95 intersects with 71, go up 71, and there's an exit for Malabar right off 71, if you want to do it that way. Personally, I don't like to drive interstate, so I go back roads.
Yeah, yeah. But they move quite fast.
They move a little too fast for me, and I, all the years that I worked for the Sheriff's Department took prisoners to different prisons all over the state of Ohio, I had to drive those interstates, and I hated it. So now that I don't have to,
I don't anymore.
And if we drive interstates, my wife does the driving. When we go to Cleveland ball games, she drives.
Okay. So you're a Cleveland fan. Okay.
Yeah, oh my, absolutely. Yeah. We're not too happy right now. The club's not doing very well.
Really?
We're in second place, but we're like seven games out of first, and I think mathematically we're going to get eliminated from any playoff games this year. But
wow,
we had an opportunity to catch up a little bit with the Minnesota Twins, who are in first place, and we were back five games going into the series, and we lost the first game 20-2. It was like a football score. We lost the second game. We did win the third game last night by a score of 2-1, but we're now seven games out, and I think we're going to lose.
Hi, my name is Becky Sprague with the Employee Retention Credit Admin Department. ERC is the federal-funded employee retention program that Congress...
I think they need to talk to Scott on
that. Yeah, somebody else.
But anyway, I think it's... I think we're coming to the end of the Cleveland Indians rope here. So
right, right.
But, you know, we always say wait till next year.
I know, I know. My dad was a diehard Cleveland fan.
Oh, yeah.
My brothers are too.
Yeah. Well, I was born in 1950, so they haven't won a World Series in my lifetime.
Oh, really? Oh, my.
I was at the 1954 World Series as a little kid, and we lost in four straight.
Okay.
So,
you're talking about baseball.
Yes, okay. Baseball, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, as I said, I'm 73 years old, and they have yet to win a World Series in my lifetime, and time's running out, guys. So you got to get with it. But anyway, those are just some of the things that are going on in the area, and that's kind of a good lead-off into what we're going to talk about today.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about all things Ohio and places to go. And you know, the interesting thing about the state that we live in and the location of Marion, you know, Ohio's theme is the heart of it all. And that's been coined for a number of years. And actually, Dick Celeste, former Governor Dick Celeste, was just here a couple of weeks ago and spent the morning with us up at the museum and actually did an interview with Scott and also with Mary Ellen. And he had his new book with him that just came out, I think, December of last year. And he was doing a book signing for us a couple of weeks ago. And his book is called In the Heart of It All, and it talks about his career. But, you know, Ohio has so many things to do. You could stay in this state and not cross the state lines and be entertained all summer long and all fall long and all winter long. There are so many things to do here. And Marion is really in the center of the state.
Right.
If you get a map out of Ohio and look, we're as much in the center of the state as you can possibly get.
Sure
we're even
is.
More in the center than what Columbus is.
Yes, yeah. You're right.
So from this point, you can drive anywhere in the state of Ohio, all four corners, and be there in around 3 hours, thereabouts.
That's true.
So there's no place that you want to see in Ohio that you can't do almost in a day's trip.
Right.
Really. Mm. So what we're going to talk about today is some of the things that, some of my favorite things, and then some of the things that are happening this year that a lot of times happen every year, but I've got dates and that type of thing for you. So, you know, get your pencil paper handy. And if you've got questions while we're doing this, please give
call
us a call.
Because
if I don't know the information, I will get the information.
Right.
And we're competing with the siren going on outside here. If I don't know the information, I'll get the information. I'll either get it to Linda or we'll talk about it when I'm here next month, because I'll be back in October and there's still plenty of time to do things in October and November too. So.
And don't forget that phone number, 740-383-9944. Still plenty of time to travel and enjoy our state.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to start out talking about some of my favorite state parks in Ohio. And, of course, as most people who know me know, I was born down on basically on the Ohio River. I was born in Portsmouth. I was raised in Lucasville, which no one ever knew where Lucasville was until they built the state penitentiary there, and then that put us on the map.
But, of all things, right?
Yeah, of all things. But Lucasville is about 12 miles north of Portsmouth, and we had a family farm there. And so just starting out with that particular area, Shawnee State Park and Shawnee State Forest. Shawnee State Park is located just outside of Portsmouth, and it's in the Shawnee State Forest, and it's an absolutely beautiful state park, part of the 56 state parks in Ohio. Now think about that.
Wow.
56 state parks in this state. I don't know of any other state that can say that they have that many state parks in their system. But Shawnee State Park, just outside of Portsmouth, beautiful state park, absolutely gorgeous in the fall of the year when the leaves start to change, but beautiful anytime. excuse me, that area down there is often known as the Little Smokies.
Okay.
And there is a lodge there that you can stay in, and there are also cabins that you can
and
rent
mountains.
There. And mountains, yes. We in Ohio, we call them mountains. If you go a little bit further south and get into the Smokies, they're just foothills.
Okay.
But it is called the Little Smokies of Ohio. And I've stayed in both the cabins, and I've stayed in the lodge. The lodge is really nice because they have a nice restaurant there. You don't have to do any cooking. You just go to the restaurant and have your breakfast and dinner. There's a lot of hiking there. There's boating there. The lodge has a beautiful deck that overlooks the lake there, and in the morning you take a cup of coffee and sit down on the veranda that overlooks the lake, and you can see the smoke rising from the lake, and that's where, of course, it gets the name of being the Little Smokies of Ohio.
Okay.
But it's an absolutely gorgeous state park, and I would recommend to put that on your list. And again, boy, I've got a, excuse me, frog working here overtime. Anytime is beautiful, but spring, summer, and fall would probably be my three choices. The only problem with winter is the roads. Now, they don't get nearly as much snow as we do, obviously, but they do get some ice. So if you're going to plan a winter trip down there, you know, make sure you're prepared, because it takes about 20 minutes to get out to the park from Portsmouth, and it's a pretty windy, hilly road. So you just have to be prepared for that. But a beautiful place.
Right.
So when we sold our farm in the late 50s, 1959-60, my family moved to Logan, which is a county seat for Hocking County. Now, we have six state parks in the Hocking Hill system. Six beautiful parks, of course. Everybody knows Old Man's Cave. I think that's when people think of the Hocking Hills, they automatically think of Old Man's Cave. It is the largest one of the state parks down there. But there are others. Now, with Old Man's Cave, there is a brand new lodge there. The lodge that was originally built about 50 years ago burnt down here a few years ago, and they rebuilt the lodge. And now there are rooms in the lodge you can rent. The original lodge had only a restaurant and meeting rooms. But the new park lodge now has, I think, 50 rooms that you can rent.
Okay.
They also have cabins. They've always had cabins there. But the thing with Old Man's Cave is there are so many hiking trails down there. And it is so hilly and so beautiful, just like Shawnee. The thing you have to be careful of if you're going to Old Man's Cave, and really any of the state parks that have the hills and ravines and cliffs, stay on the park paths, please.
Right.
Almost every year in the last 25, 30 years in Old Man's Cave, someone has fallen to their death because they did not stay on the path. And they're marked very clearly. And there are rails up where the cliffs and the ravines are. And we're talking drop-offs of a couple of hundred feet.
Oh, my.
But every year, someone will venture off the trail, try to get as close to the edge as they can, and they fall over, and it ends up in a death or a debilitating injury. And a couple of years ago, you may have seen this one in the news. There was a group, a lady that was taking photographs for a bride and groom who were getting married, and someone had gotten either too close to the ledge or did it on purpose. They never did prove what which, but they pushed a rock over, and it hit this lady in the head and killed her. So even if you don't fall yourself, you could cause somebody else's death by getting off the trail and knocking debris over, which falls 100, 200 feet, it can kill someone. But very beautiful. Old Man's Cave, great place. Also, one of the other popular ones is Ash Cave. That has an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous waterfall of about 200 feet that drops down.
Okay.
And in the wintertime, if you go in the winter, they have a winter hike that's been going on now, I think, for like 40-plus years.
Mm.
That starts at Old Man's Cave and goes to Ash Cave. When you get to Ash Cave, they'll have hot chocolate and bean soup there. One of the local service groups, Kiwanis Club, usually does that.
Mm.
But the big thing there is the waterfall that goes during the summer will freeze up, and there's a huge ice cone that goes from the bottom all the way to the top of where the water starts flowing, and it's absolutely gorgeous to see. So go in the summer, go in the winter during the annual hike, which is in January, and enjoy that because it's gorgeous. Now, you have to be able to walk 3 miles.
Right.
It's a three-mile hike, but they do have buses there that will take you back to the parking lot at Old Man's
That's
Cave.
Good, huh?
So you don't have to walk back the 3 miles. And you get fed.
Okay, great.
Another one of the little-known caves there, or the state parks there, is called Rock House. And Rock House is a cave. And it's totally open. It's
Rock
not
House.
One that you're going to get lost in. You go in one side. It's pretty good size in there. And you can come out the other. And it was used by Indians and prehistoric people. There are a lot of writings on the walls that have been there originally when the Indians and the prehistoric people were there. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there's always writings on the wall that modern-day people have put in there. Even though they're asked not to, they still do that thing.
I'm sure.
And they do it on trees, too. I wish you wouldn't. Don't do that if you go there. But one of the more little known of the six parks there, but I recommend it highly. Conkle's Hollow. A lot of people don't go to Conkle's Hollow. It basically is known for its wildflowers mm-hmm. and its flora and fauna. Absolutely beautiful. A lot of nice hiking through there. You won't see a lot of the cliffs and things like you would see in the waterfalls, like you would see at Old Man's Cave or Ash Cave. But I would highly recommend it, especially in the spring of the year when the wildflowers are out and in the summer.
Why do you think Ohio has so many caves?
Probably because we were so full of so many underground rivers.
Oh.
A lot of people don't realize it, but we were once covered by an ocean.
Ohio?
The whole state was, yes. Yeah, the whole state was. And Lake Erie, we think of Lake Erie being where the boundaries are now.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up into Cary, Ohio, mm-hmm. and go the back route of Cary into Findlay, which I think like Ohio 598 or something like that, you will come to where the original shore of Lake Erie was. It was all the way down south of Findlay.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there are still a lot of underground rivers that run through Ohio. Have you ever been over to the West Liberty area where the caves are over there? There are underground rivers running through those caves over there.
I don't think I've been
there. It's absolutely a fantastic place to go. Yeah, I don't think
I'd
I've
like
got
to see that.
I think
yeah.
it might be on my list if we have time today, but we'll touch on that. But yes, we were covered by an ocean. We were covered by an ocean.
Know that.
Yep. Another one that's not well known is Cantwell Cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
And as the title says, Cantwell Cliffs, there are a lot of cliffs in this particular park. So again, you have to be careful and stay on the trails because very easy, get off a trail, lose your balance, slip on a rock, and over you go. But it's kind of like Conkle's Hollow, and it's very beautiful in the spring of the year when the wildflowers are out. So highly recommended. And the last one is Cedar Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Again, known for its cedar trees that are very prominent in that particular state park and for its hiking and for its flora and fauna and for the falls that are there. So not quite as majestic as the falls at Ash Cave.
Right.
But also one of the great, great state parks in that six park area in one county. In Hocking County, you got six parks.
Got so much to do in that one county.
Oh,
wow.
Absolutely. And, yes, I should mention this, too. I didn't write it down. But Rockbridge, which is right on the, pretty much on the line of Fairfield and Hocking County, Rockbridge is a home to a natural rock bridge that goes over a ravine. And that's, I think that might be just designated as a state resource area, resource area. It's not a state park, but you can actually stop and go back, walk back there. It's a little bit of a hike to get back there, but when you get back there, it's beautiful because it's just a natural rock bridge that goes over this ravine.
We'll have to talk about that next hour, Fred. Thank you so much. We are out of time for this hour. Hopefully you will tune in for next hour. Fred Malone, chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. He has much more to share with us about what we can do right here in our own state of Ohio. This is Linda Sims Pickett from A Voice of a People here on WGH Talk. Till the next hour, 11:15. Be blessed. Thank you.